Also turn and put a mark in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 if you like, because we'll be continuing our study there as well. But we'll be starting with reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. As usual, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And for those of you who can and would like to, please stand in honor of God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we've been studying through this section of 1 Thessalonians 5 from verses 12 through 24, we recognized at first that this is, while it may seem like a random thrown together bunch of thoughts that Paul is throwing out at the end, kind of like, well, maybe I didn't cover this, so I want to throw those in there and cover it. That's not what he's doing. Verses 12 through 24 are very much about the God of peace sowing peace into our lives as the body of Christ, and how as we are peaceful with one another, we are cooperating with God's agenda, and we are actually enhancing or promoting peace by the actions that we take. We recognized first that the peace that Paul is speaking about here, that God wants to instruct us about, started in verse 12 with peace between the leadership and the congregation. When that works well, then he went on to say that there are things that need correction sometimes. There are things that need dealt with in all of our lives. And he said that there are three actions that promoted peace, and they were to encourage, or actually, first of all, to admonish the idle, to encourage the faint-hearted, and then to help the weak. And so we recognize that just as sturdy trees, if you will, those who have been in the faith for many, many years and a long time are the ones who can be reaching out to the seedlings or the saplings, those who are less further along in their faith, and can actually be helping them along the path. And part of that admonishing sometimes can be when someone is kind of going off to the wide path instead of staying on the narrow path, the body of Christ can come together and encourage them to stay on the narrow path, to continue the course toward salvation and eternal life. And we recognize that too, because of what Paul was saying throughout the letter, that part of the reason that they would need encouragement would be that they could be discouraged by various circumstances in life, but particularly in this letter, through the persecution that they were experiencing, and also through the death of a loved one. So it's responsibility of all of us to work together, not just the leadership working with the congregation, but the entire congregation working together and seeing those who do need admonished or encouraged or helped. Today, we're going to look at three more actions. And these are more about not that they aren't about the body working together, but these actions are really about what we as individual Christians should be doing all the time. And as we do this all the time, as we take the responsibility to take these actions ourselves, then we are going to see peace within the body of Christ. So it's really about actions that we take individually and how that will help the body. So we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Does that seem like kind of random thoughts thrown together? I mean, we could think that, right? And we could think that that's what Paul is doing, and he's just throwing those things out there, but he's not. He's, as we see, as we go on down, we see that he goes on in verse 23, and he says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So in the context of peace, he's saying, for all of us, each one of us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Does that kind of sound exhausting? It does to me, because he says, always, without ceasing, in all circumstances. It should be ongoing. It should be perpetual. It should be something that takes effort and requires our involvement. Peace with God and others doesn't passively fall into our laps. Why? Why did we study in Sunday school this morning that part of the Lord's Prayer is to keep us from the evil one? Because the enemy works overtime to try to drive us off onto the wide path. And our own sinful desires are an enemy that constantly combat peace. You know what normal is for the outside world? Those of us, those who are not in Christ like we are, for the normal world, war, chaos, destruction, disruption, that's normal. It should not come as a surprise that peace within the body of Christ is so important, because that's an important calling card to those who are out there living in the war and the chaos and the destruction and the disruption. When we are acting as we should, and this isn't aimed at anyone in any particular thing, but the Word of God is saying that we should be rejoicing always, we should be praying without ceasing, we should be giving thanks in all circumstances. And when we're doing that, we're at peace with God and with one another. And as we are, that should be a real drawing card to the world, right? That should be the world being able to look in at us and say, wow, there must be something about this relationship with Jesus Christ thing that they talk about. There must be something that this God who they speak of is doing in their lives and changing them and making them different than everything I'm experiencing out here. So let's look at these three actions in just a little bit of detail this morning. The first being rejoice always. The first action is to rejoice always. Why does Paul say that? What did we study when we went? I mean, I know we're thinking months back. But thinking months back to 1 Thessalonians 1, what were the Thessalonians experiencing? Persecution, trials, tribulations, difficulties for preaching their faith and sharing their faith. And so Paul's saying, in the midst of all of that, be joyful. And Paul repeatedly, throughout various other books of the Bible, links joy and peace. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's one that we know well. Here's a couple passages that we probably don't. Turn over, if you would please, to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Here's a place where Paul very specifically links joy and peace. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying, righteousness. You can be, not just because we are seen as blameless, but we can actually be living blameless lives now that lead to a point where one day we will be totally, completely blameless in Jesus Christ. We can experience joy and peace now in this life, despite all that is going on out in the world round about us, or maybe even in our own families, maybe even in our own homes, maybe even in our own experiences of life with those that we come in contact with. We can be at peace and have joy. And then another place where Paul links joy and peace is Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Remember how important Paul said hope was. Hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hope that we know that we will be either resurrected bodies, either we'll experience resurrected bodies, or we'll experience being translated at the return of Jesus Christ. So joy and rejoicing is important. In fact, if you'll turn back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 6, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when you came to faith in Christ, Thessalonians, you came to faith not easily, but with affliction, with difficulty, with trouble round about you. But you are experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit. And joy is also tied to the fact that we know Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, he will conquer evil and set things straight and balance the scales. So the first action that we can take is to rejoice always. The second action is to pray unceasingly or without ceasing. Joy and prayer are linked by Paul in several places throughout Scripture, but the one that we read this morning from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6, if you want to turn back there, we'll read that one more time, is a place where he very much links joy and prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, I stumbled over that twice now, be known to all, to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray without ceasing. How do we pray without ceasing? Does that mean we're supposed to be talking all the time, like I do? Or can praying without ceasing be just a state of being in communication with God and allowing the peace of God, because the Holy Spirit resides in us, to work in us and round about us, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of strife and trouble and difficulty? But what song did we sing this morning? What a friend we have in Jesus. I don't remember I'm trying to recall the words. I shouldn't have made reference to it without being able to recall the words, but what a friend we have in Jesus. What do we not experience? We don't experience his peace. We don't experience his joy because what? Most of the time, if you're like me, you're too proud and you think you can do it on your own. You think you can manage it and you think that you can handle it. We were never meant to handle it. We were meant to be reliant upon the one who can. We were meant to throw the difficulties that we have at his feet and then not just sneak over and pick them up and carry them out with us, but literally throw them at his feet and walk away, trusting that the one who can help us will help us. The one who has the ability to meet our each and every need is going to when we pray and leave it with him. And not leave it just a little bit with him, but really leave it with him. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Why does Paul have to tell the Philippians, practice this? Why does he have to tell you, don't be anxious? Why? Because we're anxious. Why? Because we're proud. Why? Because we think we can carry it. And I'm speaking more about me than probably some of you. We really do. We really do think that somehow we can make it through this life without complete and total surrender and trust in the God of the universe. Praying, rejoicing, and then the third action is this: give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Not for all circumstances. Do you think that when Karen slipped and fell and split open her head, we said, oh, thank you, Lord, for allowing her head to be split open? No. But once we got over the initial period of her being able to at least get up and do something throughout the day a little bit, we began to see God working in this a way that this was a way she was now away from work, in a way that God was spending time with her and she was spending time with God and she was reading the Word more and the Word was coming alive to her and the Word was jumping off the page to her and God was speaking to her directly saying, here's what I want you to do. Rest in me. Trust me. Wait patiently for me. I have a plan, and I am working it out. So we began to thank God in the circumstances. And we began to say, we are beginning to see you working through something difficult and devastating, your will, your way, your plan. Thanksgiving and rejoicing are linked by Paul. We saw that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, verse 9. And what happens? What happens when we rejoice? What happens when we pray? What happens when we give thanks? What do we experience? It all culminates in what? Peace. Peace within ourselves, peace with God, and peace with one another. Right? How are some, or what are some of the ways, if we're going to talk about thankfulness and being thankful in all circumstances? Because what did Paul say at the beginning in 1 Thessalonians 1:6? He said, you received the word in much affliction. I know it's been hard for you, but you have the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so, in being thankful to God, here, I think, are some of the ways, and some of these are in your notes. how about the times that God has answered prayer? How about the clean bills of health after cancer? How about the times if you've ever been there, where you didn't know where the finances were going to come from to feed your family? And you go out to the mailbox and there's money in your mailbox. Karen goes to work and the farmer says, "It's slaughtering time and our freezer's full. Can you take some meat?" I mean, we're not talking a couple of hamburgers. We're talking, can you take some meat, a grocery cart full of meat? You have your own answers to prayer. You have your own things that God has done in your life over and over again. And when the times are bad, when the things are tough, when the trials come, when the persecution comes, what can you do? You can thank God for the times that He's answered prayer. Why? Because that's going to start giving you peace and helping you recognize and remember, this is what God did for me when I was at my lowest. Oh God, you can do it again. You will do it again. I trust you to do it again. And then here's another way that I think that we can be thankful to God is recognizing His attributes. And some of these are in your notes, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about them. The first attribute of God is that He is immutable. That's just a fancy theological word to say that God is unchanging. What if God changed His mind like we do? I saw Bono's reaction to that. It was like, yikes! Yeah, think about how this can bolster your faith. Think about how when you think about the attributes of God and who He is, and how He works, and how He works in our lives, and how much He loves us and cares for us, the first one that I think of is His immutability, His ability to be unchanging. None of us with our spouses or our children or our grandchildren or our co-workers have ever been nice and smiling to them 1 minute and then 5 minutes later talking behind their back or maybe even hollering at them, right? That never happens in our lives, right? We don't change our minds like that, right? What if God was that way? Whew. Makes me want to thank Him for His unchangeableness, if that's a word. The next one, He's omniscient. Again, fancy theological term, meaning that He is all-knowing. What if God could not know everything going on in His creation? What if He had to send people out, send angels out, to go view something and experience something and come back and report to Him? Can you imagine how long the line in the throne room would be? It would go out into the hallway, I'm sure. But God is all-knowing. He knows everything, and that's why when we can trust Him, when we put our faith in Him, when we say, God, I'm not going to be anxious about this, but I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to be thankful, and I'm going to recognize who You are, and I'm going to recognize how You worked in my life, and I'm going to recognize that You are unchanging and that You are all-knowing. How about omnipotent? God being all-powerful. How about all the books that have been written and the movies that have been made of someone creating something, even with good intentions, that goes completely awry? Frankenstein. The doctor wanted to create a living being, right? But what happened to Frankenstein? He went off and did his own things, his own way, and didn't listen to his creator. But God is all powerful, and he doesn't create anything that he can't control. And even when we see the headlines of volcanoes and tsunamis and blizzards and some of the stuff that may be made up, God is in control. God is all powerful. There's nothing in the realm that he has created that he can't handle. Omnipresent, meaning that he is able to be everywhere at once. What if he was like you and me and limited to a body and only able to be in one place at one time and experience just a certain amount of stuff? And like, you know, all know the story, right, about how maybe there's a car accident and the police will interview people, and one will say, well, it was a green car and a blue car, and the next one person will say, well, it was a yellow car and an orange car. Because we have our own perspective of seeing things. But God sees everything and knows everything, and he is ever present with us. And part of the way he does that is through his Holy Spirit residing in us. This one struck me this morning, and I probably shouldn't even mention this one, but I'm going to anyhow, because I think about things like Back to the Future series of movies, where they dealt with time travel, or the TV show Quantum Leap years back, where they dealt with time travel and moving through time, or even going all the way back to like Star Trek, the television series, and then later the movies. Why do the science fiction movies have such a focus on being able to travel in time, or being able to, like in Star Trek, they had the teletransporter or whatever it was, right? Where they were able to just step into this booth and their body was able to be somewhere else. Why that focus in science fiction? Because they want to be godlike. They want to be like God. They want to not... Mankind has said, we don't want to have the limitations that we have being in these bodies, but God knows that we need them. He's the one who is able to be omnipresent. He's unchanging. He's all-knowing. He's able to be everywhere at once and know everything that is going on. We can also thank God for the grace that he extends to us and the forgiveness of sin that we receive over and over again every day. And in that, we can confess our sin and be thankful that we know he forgives our sin. And we can also be thankful that we can recognize that Jesus is going to return. And we, when we follow him, can be blameless at his return. So the question may arise, why should we pray and give thanks and rejoice? Why should we do it always? Why should we do it without ceasing? And why should we do it in all circumstances? Verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, because it's God's will. I don't want to sound like a prosperity gospel preacher. But have you ever really given any thought to the fact that God wants us to be happy? He wants us to enjoy life. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? Because I think a lot of my life, I've spent believing that God is this controlling ogre up there who wants to make sure that I don't have fun, that I can't go to game night and laugh. that I can't laugh at my own stupidity when I do dumb things. And God's okay with it. Because He is. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be... Why would He say, rejoice always? Yes, for the most part, it's rejoicing in Him. But even in rejoicing with Him, we can rejoice with the fellowship that we have with one another and the peace that we have with one another and the joy at things like the birth of Seth. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to experience joy even in the midst of our trials, even when we're going through affliction, even when we're going through persecution, even when we're experiencing temptation. God wants us to be overcomers. But over the years, for me, many times, as I've already said, I've been what I would call a gloomy Gus Christian. Not really happy. Not really joyful. Not really experiencing all that God has for me. We know those types of folks, right? They mope around. They bemoan life circumstances. They regret decisions that they made 25 years ago or more. I think I remember hearing in Sunday school about, you know, so-and-so did such-and-such to me back in high school. Well, guess what? With the exception of just a few of you, most of us have been out of high school 40, 50, maybe 60-some years. What does it matter that so-and-so did to us back in high school? It doesn't. They forgot about it. They probably don't even remember us. God loves us enough to want us to be happy, to be at peace with Him and at peace with one another. And part of it starts, as we said, within the body of Christ, the leadership in the church. Then there are those things that may need taken care of in the church where people are walking away and we need to gently pull them and draw them back in and help them back onto the narrow path. And then now we need to recognize that being at peace with God and with one another, we can rejoice, we can pray, we can be thankful, and we can recognize what God is doing in us and through us. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, not for the fall, but once you recognize that God is super imposing Himself into this situation when Karen fell, when we could have walked away and said, God, you're not in control. No. He was in control all along. He was orchestrating something that was far better than anything that we could ever have thought of and planned for. And we trusted Him and we gave thanks to Him in that circumstance. So we need to see our circumstances through the lens of Christ, not from our limited vantage point, because God is all-knowing, God is all-seeing, God is all-powerful, and God does love and care for us. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the encouragement of Your word. And we thank You, Father, that we can recognize that You are the God of peace. We don't manufacture peace. You do. You create peace. But we can have a large plan, a large part of the plan in being involved in enhancing and promoting peace through the actions that we take, when we trust You with all of our lives, when we trust that even in the difficulties, You're working out something good, when we trust that even like Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, there is a reason why and there is a point to accomplish. And if we will but submit to You, even like at the cross, when Jesus submitted to you, if we will but submit to you, you can work out a plan that we couldn't possibly imagine. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you that you do desire us to rejoice and be joyful and trust you with all of our needs through prayer and be thankful to you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for your unchanging ways, that you are trustworthy in all that we do and all that we give you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.